Good evening and welcome to Charla Comunitaria. This is your host, Audrey Ortiz. As you know, Thanksgiving is time to say thanks for everything you have and appreciate. Most important of all, be thankful this year for people, your loved ones, but also the people you don't know who work hard to protect everyone else. Any time of year is a good time to show gratitude to the first responders, medical professionals, mental health care workers who keep others safe and healthy, and all that serve with gratitude. Thanksgiving is a special opportunity, especially as these workers put their health and lives on the line to help others in need. That's why together, Iglesia Cristiana Chequina and St. Paul's Church of Fountain Hill, they celebrated a Veterans Breakfast and Recognition on November 9th. And we want to remember that because these veterans have given all their lives, they're giving their family life and everything they have to protect us. So always having them in mind is a way of showing our gratitude in this Thanksgiving. Bienvenidos a Charla Comunitaria. Soy Aurea Ortiz. Nosotros siempre pensamos que el Día de Acción de Gracias es para dar gracias y siempre recordar a aquellos que nos cuidan, como los policías, las enfermeras, los doctores y muchas más personas que están en las calles cuando nosotros estamos sentaditos comiéndonos el pavo. Ellos nos están cuidando. Por favor, tengan sus oraciones para ellos. También nuestros militares. Nuestros militares son primordiales. Están ahora mismo allá en sitios, en lugares que están en peligro y acá están sus familias. Tengan siempre en mente a estas personas, por favor. Siendo mamá de un soldado que ya está retirado, siempre me acuerdo de los que nos cuidan. Así que vamos a pedir a Dios que los bendiga a todos. Y hablando de sobre las bendiciones, tengo una bendición muy especial. Tengo a un invitado que se llama John Grayson. Él estaba en la iglesia UCC, donde la iglesia de ellos era la iglesia que daba el culto en inglés y nosotros éramos la iglesia que dábamos el culto en español. La iglesia de nosotros se llamaba Shekinah y él se llama Shekinah. Y entonces nosotros pues conocimos a John y siempre él nos decía que tenía muchas ganas de hablar sobre sus experiencias en Puerto Rico y también de su experiencia de conocer en forma indirecta a uno de nuestros grandes peloteros que se llamó Roberto Clemente. Y en forma de gratitud a toda esta vida que él ha tenido de saber de nosotros, los puertorriqueños, de nuestros héroes, también él nos va a hablar sobre su vida, que ha sido una vida de gracia y gratitud. Good evening again. I have with me today the honor, the privilege to be speaking to Mr. John Grayson. John, welcome to Charla Comunitaria. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
John, I am so amazed that I'm talking to our listeners and I'm saying, look, John is going. You're still there at UCC Church,
yes.
Right? How long have you been there?
About 21 years, 22 years. We joined the church in 2002.
Wonderful. And we happen to have a Spanish-speaking church. It was my husband is a pastor, so he was we were at the basement, and it's the Iglesia Cristiana Chequina. And then that's how I met John. And he has always been so graceful, and the people there at UCC, that I invited him to talk more about him because he has so many exciting things to say that I didn't even know. You know, you see a person every day, you say hi, you know, but you don't know that person has so much things to talk about. And I'm just going to give him this mic, and he's going to tell us a bit about himself. He's going to talk to us also about his experiences in Puerto Rico and his experience with Roberto Clemente, how he knows about Roberto Clemente. So, John, the mic is yours.
Okay. Well, I was born in Allentown. I grew up in Fullerton, which is part of Whitehall right now. I attended Lehigh University and got a degree in electrical engineering. Then I went to graduate school at Carnegie Tech, which eventually became Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh. That's the Roberto Clemente connection starting right there. And when I moved to Pittsburgh, that was 1964.
Wow.
So there was a lot of baseball going on then that involved the Philadelphia Phillies. So I started out by attending Phillies games at Forbes Field and, of course, got to see the Pirates because they were playing at Forbes Field. And that's where I first started seeing Roberto Clemente play. I stayed on and finished my graduate work at Carnegie Mellon, got a PhD, stayed on as a professor for a bunch of years, and then moved to New Jersey and worked for Bell Labs for 25 years. And then when I retired, I moved back here with my wife, and we moved and settled in Bethlehem. I want to make a comment about first responders. You just reminded me of that.
Yes.
When we lived in New Jersey, and I lived there for 25 years, we lived in a town right on what's called the Bayshore, Atlantic Highlands. We were 25 miles line of sight across from Manhattan. So when 9/11 occurred, we could see that from our deck. We could just see the towers burning. But in addition, we had ferry service into Manhattan, into Pier 11 from our town. And so a lot of the people who had to vacate Lower Manhattan and some of the injured came into our town, and we had a very nice harbor and a nice area there of, that was vacant because the boats were in the water. And so we acted as a triage center for people coming out of the 9/11 disaster. And our sister town, Highlands, New Jersey, also had ferries into Manhattan. We bused the and used emergency vehicles to take sick people over to Highlands, and then they sent them off to local hospitals. So we had a lot of first responders right in person, right in town, right during 9/11. It was a big deal. You just reminded me of that.
No, and how grateful that people in that event that was so catastrophic for all of us, they took their time. They took their they don't even care about their lives. They went out there and they just wanted to save people.
Exactly. We were sort of at the other end of the connection in our town, but we had four family members or friends in Manhattan that day, either at or close to the World Trade Center. In fact, one of our friends was in one of the towers. He did not survive. So it was a lot of personal connection with that. And you could see all of this work of the volunteers, the first responders, not just those who were at the site, but those who were 25 miles away across the water, taking those victims and patients and getting them off to local hospitals and getting them away from the site of the disaster, because that was a dangerous place to be.
And that really reminds us of, you know, how much we have to be grateful for. Like, you know, as these times come in and you're talking about these things that happened and how it impacted your life and how it impacted so many, many lives. And still, we think about it, and there's still people that, when they listen to this, they still remember. And that's why it's important for us to understand and remember those that always give.
Yes.
And we have to be one of them as well.
Yes.
And you have given so much because, I mean, an engineer, you know, a professor. You know, little birdies told me that you're also a singer.
Yes. Well, the connection with Puerto Rico is while I was at Lehigh University, I sang in the Glee Club. At that time, it was all men.
Okay.
And so starting with my sophomore year, every spring break, we took a 9-day trip to Puerto Rico and did a singing tour across the island.
Wow.
And one of the songs that I sang there, which you can find on YouTube.
We're going to listen to it. Believe me, we are.
It's, you'd have to look for Lehigh University Glee Club, The Cutler Years. And then you'd find the song called Marry a Woman Uglier Than You, which I did not do, but I sang the song. And I did the solo on that. And it's a calypso beat. So you can look it up on YouTube.
That is so interesting.
I wanted to mention how this segue from arriving in Pittsburgh in 1964 and then seeing Roberto Clemente play baseball, there were some historic things that happened, okay? Moving ahead, well, the Pirates had won the World Series in 1960. They didn't play strongly again until 1971. And at that time, I was fortunate to get tickets to one of the playoff games at Three Rivers Stadium. They had moved out of Forbes Field. And I got to see Roberto Clemente and play against Willie Mays.
Wow.
Live and in person. It was, I think, one of the last games that Willie Mays played. And seeing them both in the outfield in the same game at the same time, I mean, that was really, I didn't realize how important it was at the time because the Pirates won the World Series in 71. And in 72, there was that earthquake in Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. And Roberto Clemente was on a mercy mission, and the plane that he was on crashed. That was his last game. Well, the last game of the World Series. So,
wow. You know, and that really, see to what we're speaking, the act of people that are not thinking about, I mean, he had the world in his hands. He was like a baseball player, this person that had fame. He won the World Series, and he didn't care about that. He cared about these people that were having this difficulty, that were in need, and he went out there and did it.
Yes, yes, he did. I want to give a quick shout-out to my friend Lupe Pierce of the Hispanic American Association in Allentown.
Whoa, Lupe, shout-out for you.
You know Lupe, and she's a personal friend for 20 years. And she, of course, was instrumental in founding the Roberto Clemente Charter School in Allentown. I had to give her some credit.
Of course. We are going to take a pause right now, and we are going to start with your initial impressions in Puerto Rico as soon as we come back, okay? You're listening to Charla Comunitaria. This is your host, Audie Ortiz.
Tune up your week with a great variety of jazz music on WDIY, Monday through Friday nights from 9 to 11, offers many choices from the world of jazz, featuring traditional to modern styles, plus Swing Sunday at 5 p.m. and improvisational jazz on the bridge Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Listen for new releases, interviews with artists, and information on upcoming performances right here on WDIY.
Welcome back to Charla Comunitaria. This is your host, Audie Ortiz, and we are here with Mr. John Grayson. And he has been giving us so much information about his life and mostly about his experiences and regarding my hometown, Puerto Rico, regarding one of our greatest baseball player, Roberto Clemente. And also now he is going to talk to us more about his experiences in Puerto Rico.
Yes, the first time I went with the Glee Club, we took 41, because that's the number who would fit on a bus. So that was our limit. So we had 41 members went. And this is 1962, the first time we flew down there. We flew in a 4-engine propeller plane. It was a 6-hour flight. When we flew back from that trip, we flew in a jet, and it was much smoother because we were flying a lot higher, and it was faster, much faster. Just an idea to place this in time where we were. Now, in 1962, it had been just 3 or 4 years since Castro took over Cuba. So Puerto Rico at that time, my understanding is, was becoming a replacement for Cuba for Americans to go to have vacations in the tropics. And I remember flying toward the airport the very first time. This is kind of interesting, the contrast. We flew in over San Cristobal, in Old San Juan.
El Morro.
And then as you go past El Morro, you're flying over a bunch of barrios right along the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, well, what kind of initial impression is this for Puerto Rico? But from then on, it was really a tremendously positive impression. First place, this was February, early March. But the weather was so much nicer, and the beach was fantastic. The locals would not swim. We went to the Condado Beach Hotel. I don't know if it still exists.
Yeah.
And they hosted us. We sang in the shower and had all sorts of fun. But the locals wouldn't be swimming. We were, and they said, well, the water's too cold. And for us, of course, it was great. And the other thing that I observed fairly quickly was all around, we sang all around the island. We were hosted frequently, maybe half the time at least, by Rotarians, members of the Rotary clubs.
Yes, there's a lot of Rotarios.
And the mayor of San Juan was a Lehigh alumnus. I'm not the mayor, the editor of the San Juan Star, which I don't know if that exists anymore. It's a newspaper.
I don't think it does, but it used to be really, really famous.
He was a Lehigh graduate, so he sort of set things up for us. But it was very clear there was a solid middle class in Puerto Rico at that time. One of the things that we learned, which I had already known, was that Roberto Clemente had a home, maybe his main home, in Rio Piedras. Well, that's also the location of one of the main campuses of the University of Puerto Rico. We got a really great reception down there. Then we sang all over the island. We did the originally, you know, the first time we went, we did the tourist thing. So we went to El Yunque and hiked up the mountain. That's the first time I heard a steel band. We came down and ate at a restaurant and had some arroz con pollo on the way down. And then also went to Luquillo Beach, where they had black sand, which was impressive. There are other islands in the Caribbean. Guadeloupe has black sand also in one of their, it's Grand Terre or Basse Terre, I forget, where there was a volcano.
Okay.
And then we sang for the mayoress of San Juan. So the mayor of San Juan at that time was a woman. While I was waiting in line with the Glee Club, I met a pretty senorita. And so I knew that we were going to have a little bit of trouble communicating, but we managed, and we exchanged addresses, and we were pen pals for a number of years.
Wow.
So the next trip down to Puerto Rico with the Glee Club the next year, her parents hosted a couple of my singing mates and me over to their house after the concert. We sat down in the living room with her and her sister, and then her older sister was the dueña. You always had to have a dueña to keep watch over the teenage girls.
Exactly.
Then we did our tour of the island. Now, on that particular trip, we went counterclockwise around the island. So we got to see the Arecibo radio telescope while it was still under construction. And again, a Lehigh affiliated person was one of the people involved with the construction. And as you may know, that world's largest radio telescope has since collapsed, but that's been a long time ago.
No, but they're fixing it, and they are already. It's now, as we speak, is being fixed, and is going to again. It was the center of not only the Caribbean, but mostly.
Oh,
it
yes.
was one of the best that
in the
they
world.
Were in the world.
Oh,
that
absolutely,
they were
able
yes. to see that.
Yes, yes.
So that's something that we're really, really proud of, is El Observatorio de Arecibo, which is really in a very, very prime position. That's why when the government tried to kind of minimize that they're not going to fix it, the pueblo said, no, we want that, because that has been part of our legacy for so many years.
It was originally started to look for extraterrestrials because it's a radio telescope. But anyway.
They didn't find any.
Let's go on with our trip here. The next place we went was the University of Puerto Rico in Mayagüez, which is one of my favorite places. I actually had a chance to teach there years later.
Mm-hmm.
I had family obligations, couldn't take advantage of spending a year on campus there as a professor. Then we visited San Germán. We saw the historic old church, second oldest town in Puerto Rico, according to that, I guess, after San Juan.
Mayagüez is a big town, yes. It's one of the biggest.
And then Ponce, the obligatory Ponce, with the red and black striped firehouse.
And still like that.
Still like that. Well, glass bottom boats where you see the bioluminescence in the water.
And La Parguera.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay. And we were hosted by the Don Cu Rum Company, and we had this big reception with banana daiquiris.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, they said that the drinking age in Puerto Rico was, could you reach the bar? So we, even though we were college students and were under the age in Pennsylvania, we were not under the age in Puerto Rico at that time.
Boy, you were must be in some places that I didn't know about.
Okay, well, that's
John.
See, this is the early '60s now. We unfortunately some of our students overindulged in the banana daiquiris. Then a second trip, you know, in '63, I remember going over the mountains in a 41-passenger bus, and it was a very perilous trip. We went south of San Juan and wound up at the Aguirre Sugar Central.
Yeah.
We got a tour of the sugar processing plant.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing there was that we stayed in the home of some people who were locals. It was very nice. They had a young daughter. We were allowed to walk her to the theater where we were giving the concert. That was very nice. But again, she had her older sister as a dueña. And I'm using that word because...
Chaperona.
Because
girls were not allowed to be with anyone unless
exactly.
There was somebody with them.
That night, we had a nice reception at a place called La Cabaña, which I learned meant the hut.
Yes.
And it was...
Or the cabin.
Yes. And I'll do another shout-out to my niece and nephews who are Mexican-Americans who own La Cabaña in Venice, California. A very, very fine Mexican restaurant. I've eaten there many times, and it's one of the best.
John, I'm curious. We were talking out of the air, and we were discussing that one of the things that were very grateful in this wonderful trip of yours to Puerto Rico that you were able to go to all these places, meet these different people, but you always are thankful to particular people in your life because you have had this wonderful opportunities to
Oh, absolutely, yes. Well, for example, you know, growing up, we were not rich. Our family wasn't rich, but my father was hardworking, constantly employed. My mother was employed when she was not bearing children. And we never felt poor. And I was very grateful that we had a stable family life. And we, you know, even though we didn't have fancy cars or eventually we got a telephone. You know, I mean, when I was, you know, but, you know, we didn't have the fancy stuff, but... So I'm very thankful that we had a stable, solid family life, and we're always church-going, okay? And I was born and raised Russian Orthodox, okay?
Wow.
So
tell me a little bit about that, because we have like a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Yeah. Well, in terms of you're talking about your Spanish-speaking congregation, I don't think you've segued yet to only English services. But I grew up, you know, having to learn Russian alphabet so I could read it in church and sing in the church choir. And over the years, over the decades, eventually now all of the Orthodox churches in this country conduct their services in English. And there are many different branches. It's not like the Roman Catholics. They're not all unified under one pope, okay?
Now you were talking about your grandparents, that
yes.
they came from Russia?
They came from what is now Slovakia, and then what is now part of Poland, in an area that historically was Galicia. And before that, believe it or not, it was Moravia. So I'm a Moravian. Except I'm a Slavic-speaking and Slavic heritage Moravian. The Moravians eventually migrated to the west and became German-speaking. So those are the Moravians that we have in Bethlehem. Over 1,000 years ago, Moravia was part of Eastern Europe.
Yes, and you were saying that you were very grateful to your grandparents.
Yes, because they made the sacrifice to leave their life and their relatives in Eastern Europe to come over to this country to make a new life for themselves. And they worked very hard and built up, you know, a nice foundation for their children who were, you know, my parents' generation who were born in this country. And by the time it got to my generation, you know, we had a lot of opportunities. And so I was very grateful for that.
John, do you know that Bethlehem has a sister city in Batillas? And you visited different places in Puerto Rico. Did you ever go by Batillas? And what do you think about it?
Well, on one of our trips, we did stay at Roosevelt Roads at the eastern end of the island and then rode down along the eastern end and the south end of the island and passed by Batillas. Okay. I remember that was a very interesting trip because very soon after that we stayed at Guayama.
It's a large city.
Yeah,
also.
And that's close to Batillas.
Yes.
And I was very fond of Guayama, and I'm sure if we had stopped and stayed in Batillas, I would have been very fond of that too.
Well, you're going to have lots of times to visit Batillas because it's now becoming, I don't know if you came to when Bethlehem celebrated on September 20th, Batillas became the sixth sister city for Bethlehem. So that is something key, and I'm thankful that you had the opportunity to at least pass by Batillas. But one of these days, you'll be able to go and visit that sister city, Batillas. And John, thank you for all these experiences that you have shared with us today. You know, it just tells us that, you know, our English speakers and our Spanish speakers, you know, we share so many memories of almost the same place that we know. So thank you. Thank you for listening to Charla Comunitaria. This is your host, Aurea Ortiz.